Now here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on Calvinism and Arminianism.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week we have been looking at the subject of Calvinism and Arminianism, trying to come to the scriptures and look at what does the Bible say on the subject of predestination and election. And for our study today, what I'd like to focus in on is what do the scriptures say as to why God chose? What is the motivation or what motivated God to choose or to design salvation in the way that he did? And primarily, we see the answer to this difficult question from Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1 in verses 3 through 14, it's a wonderful description of salvation. And it relates to the role that the Father plays, the role the Son plays, and the role that the Holy Spirit plays in salvation. In verses 3 through 6, it speaks about the Father. In verses 7 through 12, it speaks about the role of the Son. And in verses 13 and 14, the role of the Holy Spirit. So the entire Trinity is involved in the plan and the accomplishing of salvation. And as Paul writes about salvation, he does begin to hint at the motivation or what motivated God to plan salvation in the way that he did. And there's three places in Ephesians chapter 1 which gives us a clue as to what this is. And in verse 5, which says, having predestined us to the adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Now listen to this phrase, according to the good pleasure of his will. So it says predestination as well as the plan of God the Father in salvation is according to the good pleasure of his will. So that means God designed salvation based on what was pleasing to him, what was based on his will. And so as we look at salvation, it never starts with man and man's choice. It starts with God and what God wants to bring about. Now, I'm not saying that I agree with what Calvin taught, that God just sovereignly chose to save people and to damn others. I don't think that's consistent with the scripture, but we do need to see that this scripture says God designed salvation according to the good pleasure of his will. Then also in verse 9, if you listen to these words, it says, having made known to us the mystery of his will, now listen to this, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. So we'll hear the scripture say that God purposed salvation in himself. The way he's bringing about salvation is something that starts with God, with God's purposes. It starts with God and his nature and who he is and all that he wants to bring about. So God purposed something in himself, which is salvation. So it starts with God and his infinite eternal being. Also in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So three times we see in Ephesians chapter 1, first of all, according to verse 5, it's according to the good pleasure of his will. In verse 9, it says it's according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. In verse 11, it's according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So obviously what it says here is that salvation starts with God, his purposes, and what is pleasing to him. And here is where I believe we run into trouble theologically when we start saying this is what God based his decisions on. All it says is it's according to what is pleasing to him. Now, I would venture to say that the only one that knows what is pleasing to God is God himself. He is the only one that was there throughout eternity past when these decisions or this plan was designed, and it started with his eternal being. And I think 1 Peter 1 verse 2 needs to be seen in light of this as well, which is elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And so the Arminian position is that God based his election based on foreseen faith. Now the scripture doesn't say that directly. It says God's election is based on his foreknowledge. Now foreknowledge basically means all that God knew that would take place. God has all of that knowledge. And so really, foreknowledge is all the knowledge that God as an eternal being possesses. That's what he based his election on. He purposed it in himself. He did what was bringing pleasure to himself. And then he also designed salvation and election based on all the knowledge that he possesses. And this is, again, where I think we get into trouble when we limit God's foreknowledge to something he knew, one thing that he knew about me, the choice that I would either make to receive the gospel or to reject it. The scripture doesn't say elect based on the foreknowledge that God knew who would respond. This is based on his foreknowledge, all of his foreknowledge, all the knowledge he possesses. That's what election was based on. Now, I find it a little presumptuous now for me to come along and say, I know what God based his election on. The only one that could do that is someone that had all the knowledge that God possessed, and he has not shared that with us. He's given us the Bible, the revelation of God, but he has not told us everything about himself, all of his knowledge. We just have this little drop of knowledge compared to the eternal knowledge that God has. And now we're trying to decipher and say, this is why God made the choice. I don't think Scripture gives us that answer. It says God based it on what is pleasing to him. He based it on his will. He based it on all of his knowledge. And so for me as a believer, I could sit back and just say, Lord, however that came about, whatever motivated you to make these sort of decisions and these sort of choices, I know it's perfect. I don't understand it completely, but I know that it is perfect because it's based on all your knowledge, based on you and your purposes and your plans. And so I could sit back and trust the God that I know is revealed within the Scripture. Jesus said, "Have you seen me? You've seen the Father." And as I look at the nature of Christ, I realize whatever God based these decisions on that were pleasing to him and based on all of his knowledge are right and perfect and just. And I could trust him. So I don't have to come to some conclusion and say, this is exactly why. It's either foreseen faith that God knew about or he just sovereignly chose. Whatever it is, it's right, it's perfect, it's just. I don't have to understand it completely. And actually, I think the Bible tells me that I will not be able to understand God's ways. Romans chapter 11 in verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." That word depth means inexhaustible. So God has inexhaustible wisdom and knowledge. Then it goes on to say, "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." So I do believe we have some knowledge that's been given to us from the Scripture, but we don't have all the knowledge that God had at his disposal when he made these decisions and choices. And I believe they're past finding out because he has inexhaustible wisdom and knowledge. And so as I come to the Scripture and I look at this difficult issue of Calvinism and Arminianism, where people are saying this is why God chose and this is what it's based on, I just take a step back and say, you know what, I don't know the ways of God. I don't even know what's going to happen in 5 minutes from now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know the will of God in many situations just right now. How am I supposed to know the eternal will of God? How am I supposed to be able to comprehend that? That knowledge is too wonderful for me. But I can trust him. I can realize that whatever that decision was ultimately based on, it is a perfect plan. And I'm willing to trust the Lord and not have to come to an exact conclusion in this life. So God's knowledge is unsearchable. His judgments and his ways are past finding out. And I think that's what people are trying to do theologically on this decision, is trying to find out something that is past finding out. And they're making conclusions based on the little bit of the information that they have. Now, believe me, the 66 books of the Bible, it's an awesome revelation of God. But you do realize that it's not the complete revelation of God. God possesses more knowledge and wisdom than what's recorded in the Bible. It's just a part of the knowledge that God possesses. Just a small part, just a small drop compared to his infinite and vast knowledge. And we're trying to use this just little bit of information to try and say this is why God did this in eternity past. I don't think it's going to happen in this life. The Bible says that we see through a glass dimly. I think this is one of the subjects that we radically see through the glass dimly, but when we get there, we'll fully understand it. And I'm willing to trust the Lord until that point and not have to divide over this issue or to make some exact decision as to these eternal decisions that God has made. So for myself, I would neither be Calvinistic nor Arminian. And what that frees me to do is when I come across a passage that stresses the sovereignty of God, I could stress it. When I come across a passage that stresses man's choice or man's responsibility, I'm able to stress that without being boxed into some theological system and just being able to teach what the Word of God says in that passage without having to water it down and say, yeah, but over here it says, but just let it speak. The passage stresses God's sovereignty, stress it as the Word of God does. If it stresses man's responsibility, then we stress that. One other passage I'd like to close this study on today is found in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us, to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So there's certain secret things that belong to God. And I think that man has been trying to get into those secret things by trying to decipher God's mind in this eternal decision that he made. I believe God is the only one that knows why he made and designed salvation the way that he did. It's ultimately to bring him glory. We could all agree upon that. But there's certain things that belong to the heart and mind of God that man on this side of the earth will never comprehend, whether it's our lack of ability to, or it's just a matter that God has not chosen to reveal these things to us. Either way, they're secret things that belong to the Lord. But those things which are revealed to us belong to us. And they're there to bless us so that we could follow the Lord and understand his ways as much as he wants us to understand and to trust him and to walk with him. So I want to understand everything that the Bible's revealed to me. But I don't want to go beyond what's written and start making decisions about why God does certain things. Once again, I think that's a little bit too presumptuous upon man to try and get into the eternal decisions of God and say, this is why God does certain things, especially based on the fact when things happen in our life right now, in our life just in this temporary scene, our life's but a vapor, we don't even understand it now. How are we to understand the eternal ways and plans of God? Remember, they're past finding out. So what I'd advise you to do is to embrace what the scriptures have revealed. Don't go beyond written and simply trust the Lord. His plan for salvation is perfect. Even though you don't completely understand it, don't try and force scriptures into a theological system. Just trust God with the areas that are not revealed to us. His plan is perfect. We can trust him eternally, and I encourage you to do the same.